In our Sunday morning Bible class, we're covering this quarter the names of Jesus. It's hard to put Jesus in a box, you know, with just one title. In fact, it's impossible. In fact, it's impossible to just kind of put ourselves. Daryl was talking this morning about the different hats we wear as an employee, as a family person, just in our families. We can be a son or daughter, mom or dad, brother or sister at the same time. Looking at it from God, I would like for us to turn in our Bibles to Psalm, the 90th Psalm. We're going to be looking at Psalm 90 and 91 this evening. And one of the things I would like for you to do is kind of have in the back of your mind, in addition to what the psalmist has written, keep in mind the different attributes of God in this. He is described in multiple ways, just in these two psalms. And I'd like for us to go through this, and I'll read it. Starting in Psalm 90, the 90th Psalm, verse 1. Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting. You are God. You turn man to destruction and say, return, O children of me, for 1,000 years in your sight are like yesterday when it's past. And like a watch in the night, you carry them away like a flood. They are like a sleep. In the morning, they are like grass which grows up. In the morning it flourishes and grows up. In the evening it is cut down and withers. You know, I look at that line, they are like asleep. You know, when we're awake and you're waiting for something, it can't come quick enough. And then you go to sleep. I always think of like a birthday or something like that. You can't wait for a special day if there's something planned or whatever. And especially as a kid, you know, you can't wait for something. But then you sleep, and that time, it just goes by in a blink of an eye. You wake up and it's here. All of that time for God is like a sleep. It just vanishes. It goes away, and it's nothing to God. He is eternal. It goes on to say in verse 7, for we have been consumed by your anger, and by your wrath we are terrified. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your countenance. For all our days have passed away in your wrath. We finish our years like a sigh. The days of our lives are 70 years. This right here is a little humbling here. I used to think of 70 as pretty old. Hugh's back there shaking his head. No, it ain't. You know, 70 used to seem really old to me. Right around the corner. The days of our lives are 70 years. And if by reason of strength, they are 80 years. Yet their boast is only labor and sorrow. For it is soon cut off, and we fly away. It kind of goes goes back to verse 7 about, and by your wrath we are terrified. If we fully understand God, and I don't know if any of us ever can fully understand God until that day. But if we understand God, yes, God is the loving God. And the religious world loves to think of God as that all-loving, all-giving God. Almost kind of the image of a Santa Claus type, just loving. And that's great. But it gives us as Christians a little bit different perspective if we think of God in verse 7, we're consumed by your anger, by your wrath, we are terrified. When we realize God for what he's capable of, in his hands are our souls. And then you couple that with if we fully understand just what a short time our life is, it puts things in perspective. That we may average life 70, maybe if we can squeeze out 80, great. It says, verse 12, so teach us to number our days. To look at our life with the proper perspective, what are we doing? Are we serving God properly? Are we getting out of our lives what God would have us get out of our lives? And that's to serve him. Verse 13, return, O Lord, how long? And have compassion on your servants. Oh, satisfy us early with your mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad according to the days in which you have afflicted us, the years in which we have seen evil. Let your work appear to your servants and your glory to their children. And I tell you, I don't know how people go through life, I really don't, and not his work appear to people. How they can live even a portion of a day and not see God, not see his work, his power, his might. Just looking at a sunrise and not see God. I don't know how people in the world do it. And it says, let your work appear to your servants and your glory to their children. Let us think about that every day. That every day that goes by, us to acknowledge God and his power. Verse 17, and let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish the work of our hands for us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. I've heard men pray before that, you know, I'm paraphrasing right now, that let be with us in our work as we work for you. You know, guide the things that we as a congregation do. And I think of that with this, establish the work of our hands for us. Be with us as we work, as South Valley works for God. He's right beside us and endorsing us and strengthening us in our work for him. Going on into chapter 91, the 91st Psalm. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord. This is a proclamation. This is an acknowledgement. He's proclaiming, I will say of the Lord that He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him I will trust. I don't know how many times in my life I've tried to rely on myself, on my own strength. And again, the older I get, the more I realize time is limited, but also the older I get, the things I've done, it wasn't me, it was God. The older I get, the more I realize I can't do anything without God's strength. Anything worthwhile. Anything worthwhile, that is, without God's strength. It says, I will say to the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him I will trust. That is a foundation for our salvation. We have to trust in Him in prayer. That our prayers, that when we bow our heads and go to God in prayer, that there is even something listening to us. We're putting our trust in God in prayer. We put our trust in Him for eternity. That what we're doing, that when we read His Word in the Bible, we're trusting that it's His Word. That all Scripture is inspired by God and profitable. We trust in Him that He has told us to be baptized. And that simple immersion in water is going to save us. We trust in that. Our souls we put in God's hands. My God, in Him I will trust. That is a statement. It's not a question. It's not a hope. It's I will trust. Surely He shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked, because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place. No evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling, for He shall give you His angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. I find it interesting. The devil himself used these scriptures against Jesus. The devil himself masquerading. Just because somebody uses scripture, just because a religious person uses scripture, doesn't mean he's using it properly. Doesn't mean that it is true. The devil himself used this scripture in the temptation of Jesus. And Jesus countered back with Scripture. Verse 13, "You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent you shall trample underfoot, because he has set his love upon me. Therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him." This goes back to that line about I will trust in him. That when we call upon him, if we don't trust that we can call upon the Lord, we're wasting our time in prayer. And this says, "He shall call upon me and I will answer him." God has answered me every prayer I've ever delivered. It hasn't always been the answer I was expecting. It maybe hasn't been the answer I was hoping for in my expectations, but he's answered me. And he's always been with me in trouble. And verse 16, "With long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation." Every hour God has given us, it's been from him. Every hour that we live, every minute that we live has come from him. And those of us, I think every one of us in here, have been baptized. He has shown us his salvation. In just these two, 33 verses, in these 33 verses, in these two Psalms, he has shown himself as the Creator. He has shown himself as a God of wrath. He has shown himself as not knowing time. He is eternal. God the Father is eternal. He is a God of compassion. He is a God of mercy. He is almighty. He has portrayed himself like that. It's told for us to put all of our trust in him. He is our deliverer, our comfort, our refuge. He's in charge of the angels. Preston had an unbelievable Sunday morning class the last quarter of last year. And I learned things about angels that I didn't even know was out there. Things I thought about that I'd never even considered before. And it amazes me how so many religious-minded people want to put so much stock in angels. They're selling themselves short. Don't shoot for the angels. Shoot for God. God is in charge of the angels. And last but not least, God is all-knowing. Talk about multi-hats. And that's just in two Psalms. 33 verses. That gives us a little idea of the all-powerful God that we serve. It made me think of, you know, the class that we're having about Jesus, and I'm really looking forward to this class that we're going to be studying Sunday mornings. I encourage all of you to be there for that. We are all baptized believers in Christ tonight. I don't offer an invitation for anybody to be baptized. I do offer an invitation for repentance. I offer an invitation for prayers. I offer an invitation of a challenge to dedicate yourself even more than you are to serve your God. The God that is full of wrath, that is full of love and compassion, mercy, and salvation. If you need to respond to the invitation, please come forward while Curtis leads us in the invitation. Let us stand.